Right, thank you for that intro, Ian. I'm Dan. Phil and Liz are my mum and dad, other way around. Joe and Lynn's are my brother and sister. Grew up here in Coker, and now my wife Sarah, who's here this morning, and two girls, Lily and Millie, are with us. We live in Ash, just outside of Martock, on a little farm over there. And Sarah and I are part of the team at Martock Christian Fellowship. It's great to be here with you this morning. It's great to see some familiar faces. I see Henry. I'm a bit surprised at that because I thought he only comes here when you have bacon sandwiches. Well, I see that they're not quite ready. But... Sorry. I'm going to pray before we get going. Father God, I thank you that we can come together. I thank you for your word, which is the manual and instruction book for life. Lord, I pray that these words glorify only you, and that we'll leave here this morning knowing you a little bit more and a bit more equipped to live out our lives as followers of you. Dad asked me quite a while ago to speak at your harvest service, and I'd put aside yesterday to prepare, and to be honest, I thought I was going to regurgitate what I spoke at Martock last year for the harvest. And I just had a crazy week and I couldn't spend a lot of time thinking and praying about it, but not actually sitting down. So I'd put aside yesterday. And yesterday we had quite a leisurely morning. Sarah and I and the girls didn't get out of bed that early. I got up, cooked bacon sandwiches because I knew you weren't having any this morning. And then before sitting down at my desk, I was in the downstairs loo, like you do, brushing your teeth. And in our downstairs loo is this picture. The next one, please, Joe. I don't know if you've seen it. Can you see? Yeah, you can see that. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. But I was just looking at that picture as I was brushing my teeth, and I was like, oh, that's what I've got to speak on today. So it's a picture by Hannah Dunnett. And if you ever wonder, I'm trying to think who paints those pictures. Hannah Dunnett. That's what I remember. You can probably make out it's a tractor and plough working in a field. There's trees and hills and grass in the background. And in every little element of that picture, there are some awesome Bible verses. And this morning, I just want to fly through them. Basically, she's done my job for me. We're just going to look through those verses. Dad told me yesterday I only needed to speak for about 10 minutes, so I'm going to keep it short, like me. I know I'm probably meant to be speaking on harvest, and there is a bit of a link, but it's going to be a bit tenuous. I've just really felt this morning that God wanted me to bring a word of encouragement. But we're going to start on topic. So the word harvest is mentioned, depending on which translation you look at, just over 100 times in the Bible. So it's pretty important. It's a key part of God's word. Not always, but a lot of the times in the Old Testament, it refers to harvest in an agricultural sense. Can we have the next slide? Joe's got a verse up. It was not Joe, sorry. Genesis 8:22. This is one of the times harvest appears in the Old Testament. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Now, when the weather's like tricky, and as a farmer, struggling to get everything done and before the weather breaks, this is a really reassuring verse for me. I know that it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to get my work done and that I'm going to, you know, beat the weather, but it reminds me that God's in overall control and that I can trust him and I should trust in him and not my own ability. In the New Testament, when harvest is mentioned, most of the time it refers to the spiritual harvest. Can we have the next verse, please, or next slide? And there's a couple of verses here that talk about that. So we've got Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, the workers are few. And in John 4, it says, Jesus said, the fields are white, all ready to harvest. So I was in the downstairs loo, brushing my teeth, and I was getting to think about workload. So harvest, Lindsay's already said, you know, when we were growing up, quite often we saw a lot, I think Joe and I saw a lot more Dad because we were out there, we wanted to just be involved. But harvest is a lot of work. It's full on, and it's, you're against the weather, you're against breakdowns, it just seems to be full on all the time. And I was thinking about that and how there's a parallel between that and our lives as Christians and the work that we have to do. Sometimes as Christians, it feels like there's just too much to do. It can be heavy. And sometimes it can be really, really, really hard to keep going. And so I just felt like God was saying, you know, encourage each other. Sometimes we just need to stop and look to God, remind ourselves of what he says in his word about how he helps us. We're not on our own. I don't know if I'm a bit strange for brushing my teeth in the downstairs loo. I can't be bothered after breakfast to go back upstairs on the way out. I've got an upstairs toothbrush and a downstairs toothbrush. The upstairs toothbrush is like brand new. I used it this morning. That's about one time a week that it gets used. Normally, I'm downstairs and I'm on my way out. I think, I'll go and brush my teeth. And you know sometimes when you've got to go to work, and you're just like, oh, I can't face it. When I go in that downstairs loo, brush my teeth, look at that picture, it gives me the oomph that I need to get going. It gives me sort of the kick up the bum. And we're just going to fly through them. So at the top, in the sky and in the green hills, we've got Isaiah 55. I've got that on a slide, I think. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That just reminds me, like Lindsay was talking about the massive power in Jesus' name, there's massive, massive power in God's word. And the more we can get to know it, the more we will see God's power working in our lives. So it's important to spend time reading it, listening to it. If you struggle to sit down and read, there's loads of apps out there. I've got one on my phone called Through the Word, and it's awesome for when you're on the go. So you can go any book of the Bible, and you'll hear it, and then there'll be a short little sort of a few words about it, and then they'll read the Bible to you again. It's awesome. Getting into the Word is the number one way, best way of getting to know God better and growing your relationship with Him. All right, next one, please. Is Ecclesiastes, from Ecclesiastes 3. I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Now this is quite cool. I know I said that sometimes I struggle. I think we all struggle to get up and get out the door and go to work some days. But that's not actually the norm for me. I generally love most of the work that I do. And I recognise that enjoyment is a gift from God. I'm blessed in that. And I believe that's what God wants for all of us. It says it here. It says he wants us to have satisfaction in our work. In fact, it says, I know that there is nothing better. I love that. I don't think it means we're going to love every day that we get up and every day of the grind. But that generally, when we know we're doing the work that God has for us, we can have happiness and satisfaction. How many people can you think of that you know that for work for them is just a grind, it's just a means to an end, usually just a means to the weekend? God's got a better plan for us. That verse links in nicely with the next one, please, guys. Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. I've got a different version here. I'll read this one. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Those are a couple of my all-time favourite verses. It's an awesome promise to us, but it's verse 4 that I just want to pick up on. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I don't think that means God will give you whatever you want.
I think people sometimes might interpret it like that, but I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying that when we delight in him, he puts in us the desires that he wants us to have. Make sense? I shared this at Martok a while ago, so Henry's probably heard it, but when I get home in the evening after a day on the farm, we can finally sit down and chill out. I end up winding up the girls a little bit and Sarah. We don't watch a lot of TV on our house. That sounds really good, doesn't it? What we do is watch a lot of YouTube on the TV. Now, I love YouTube. You know, like, if you search for a video, for any topic you want, you can find a video on YouTube for it, yeah? So I've had a hard day farming. Girls want to spend some time with me and sit down. They want to watch videos on hair stuff. I want to watch videos on farming. I love it. It's awesome. The girls love it as well. That verse says, take delight in the Lord. And I think that means find your ultimate joy and satisfaction in God. Well, how do we do that? By investing in growing our relationship with him. Submit our life to his will. When we do that, he changes our hearts. He puts in us the desires that he wants us to have. Like for me, that passion for farming and for serving him, that comes from him. I might not be a farmer in the normal sense of the word. Joe's always implying that I'm not a real farmer. But I am involved in farming in the way that I believe God wants me to be. And that's why I love my work. Can we have the next one up? Back to the picture. So we've just got three lots of verses left to go through. We're going to go through them. And these are the ones I want to focus on, really, because I'm not going to focus on them anymore, actually. We're just going to go through them. But these are important because they're encouragement. The next two are along the bottom of that picture. They're in the soil where the plough is working. The first one's Galatians 6, 9. Let us not become weary for doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Those words tell me that it is totally normal to feel like that sometimes. When we get bogged down, we face challenges and we face trials, it's totally normal to feel like giving up. Paul knew that. That's why he wrote it. He would have felt it at times. So you don't have to beat yourself up that you do feel like that, but take encouragement that at one day, at the proper time, we're going to reap a harvest if we don't give up. One day, all the work will come to fruition. We're going to be there for the harvest, that day when Jesus comes back for his people. Okay, the next one is Colossians 3, 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. Paul, though, actually wrote those verses to slaves in Colossae. But they're still relevant to us today as servants of Jesus. Like the verses before, they're an encouragement to keep on keeping on. They're a great reminder that that it's God that we're serving, and we can look forward to the day when he will reward us for the work we do here on earth as a response to what he's already done for us. Now that in itself completely and utterly blows my mind. He died, sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus died for us, for our sins. He saves us. So the only natural, the only response we can have to that is to worship him, to lay down our lives, to sacrifice our lives for him and serve him because of what he did. And then he rewards us for that. It's awesome. We don't deserve it. Right, this is the last verse, and this is in the best part of the picture, the tractor. Well, I just do need to say, I do have issues with that tractor and with the plough. I've never seen a tractor and plough like that in my life. And if Zach and Reba were here, they would agree with me. But we'll let that slide. This verse is actually only got verse 10 in it, verse 10, which is, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. But I want to read that whole passage through to verse 12. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. As we finish up, I want to show you these. Do you film your services? Awesome. So I won't be doing this at Martok, because A, they zoom everything, and then it's on YouTube forever to everyone to see. These are my overalls. I was just going to tell you about them, and then I thought, oh, I'll wear them, I'll put them on. These are my armour for work. I can't wear them in the summer, because they get too hot. But this time of year, I love it, because I can get them out of the cupboard if I can still fit in them. And I can put them on. They stink of diesel, because I changed some diesel. They were clean yesterday. I was like, oh, awesome. And then I went out and changed the diesel filter on the sprayer. So now they stink, and I'm going to stink all day. But right. You'll note that they're Fendt. Fendt is about the most expensive brand of track that you can get. And sorry, I knew that. This is as close as I'm going to get to owning a Fendt. These are my armour for work. They don't actually give me a lot of protection, but they protect my clothes. And if I'm going to go out and do something particularly mucky or dirty, I would not entertain the idea of going out and doing it without these on. I take them off when I get in the house. I don't think Sarah would appreciate if I went to bed covered in grease and stinking of diesel and cow muck and stuff. But that means that at the start of the day, the next day, I've got to put them back on. Just like we need to be putting on that armour of God in those verses regularly. Sarah sewed these up yesterday. She said, I'm not allowed to sew you the stitching. But yesterday there was a massive gaping hole here. And a bit like our armour, when we face strife, and challenges in life, that armour, I think, can get a bit worn sometimes and it could get damaged. We need to take care of it. There's a whole series of sermons on just that passage. We haven't got time to go into it tonight, but this morning. But I just wanted to just remind you of those verses, really. Remember to do up the belt of truth. Know who you are in Christ. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. Know that you've been made right in God's eyes. Stand in God's peace wherever you might be fighting for him. Take up the shield. Put your trust in him to protect you. Put on the helmet of salvation. Allow God to renew and transform your mind. And lastly, take up the sword of the Spirit. Get into and digest the word of God. That's how you can be strong in the Lord. And how you can be an effective worker in that plentiful harvest. That's me done. Thank you. Said I'd be short. I'll just pray. Thank you, God, for the encouragement that your word brings us. Thank you for loving us and looking out for us and for involving us in your plan. You could do it all by yourself. So easily, but you want us to be involved, and that's a blessing. And we pray that we will be able to face our challenges with renewed peace and fresh energy and our closeness to you. Amen. Thank you, guys.